You're listening to a 1FM podcast.
Now it's time to drop around to Cozzy's Corner.
Ah, yes, and I reckon we might find Roman Coz there. What do you reckon? Roman, are you there?
My word, I am, Peter. Good morning to you and to all our listeners.
And what's going on this morning in your neck of the woods?
Well, it's looking a little bit overcast outside, but, you know, as long as we're moving around and maybe able to have a bit of fun, we'll just get right into it.
Yeah, okay. Now, do tell, who are we talking about this morning?
Well, I'm talking about a guy who was born Martin David Robinson on the 25th of September 1925 in Glendale, Arizona, but we got to know him as Marty Robbins.
I've heard of him somewhere.
Haven't you, what?
Absolutely.
Now, there's minimal music interest in his family. His father played harmonica, and that was about it. His parents divorced when he was 12, and he ended up spending a fair bit of time with his maternal grandfather, and this must have been some guy, because he was one of those born raconteurs, poetry lover, and a former US Texas Ranger, or so he said to them. And Marty wrote many songs based around the stories that this guy told him. In 1942... Marty, at the age of 17, left home and joined the U.S. Navy, ended up in the Solomon Islands, and in his spare time there, learned how to play guitar, wrote songs, and had a love of Hawaiian music. And I don't think I've ever heard him sing any Hawaiian-type songs, but maybe in some of those early albums.
Yeah, I can't say I have either.
After World War II, he came back to Phoenix and did local venues, had his own local TV show, and there's a clip on YouTube with June Carter, which I reckon was probably from this particular show, where she cracks a few funnies. She's a bit of a comedian, and she sings a song called Put Another Nickel in the Nickelodeon. You'll see a couple of very young Marty Robbins and June Carter.
Okay, yeah, because that was a big hit for Teresa Brewer, I think, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. Now, there was a local sort of U.S. country legend at the time called Little Jimmy Dickens, called Little Jimmy because he was only about 4'11".
Made the bird of paradise fly up your nose, but that's a whole different story, that one.
Goodness gracious, Peter, you do know some songs, don't you?
Oh, I hope so.
Yes. Anyway, Little Jimmy got Marty a record contract, and in 1956, Marty wrote a song called Singing the Blues, which was first recorded by Marty. Didn't really click that much. It ended up number 16, but a guy called Guy Mitchell recorded it later in the year, and it ended up number one for Guy Mitchell. But never mind. And this particular song was produced by a guy called Mitch Miller, who we heard of several years later quite strongly.
Yeah.
1957, out comes a white sports coat and a pink carnation, which... Marty Robbins wrote himself, and it was conducted by Ray Conniff, who was band leader at the time, but also had a group called the Ray Conniff Singers later on. And you'll probably remember the song Somewhere My Love, Peter?
Yes, certainly from one of the films. I'm just trying to think which one it was now, but in the early to mid-60s there.
Yeah, I think it was Dr. Zhivago.
That's about it, yeah. But, gee, he certainly had some talent around him in his early days.
Yes, he was and young talent too at the time, because they were just beginning themselves. You know, they weren't sort of really recognised, these people, until the mid-60s. So he did surround himself by some very clever people. That particular song sold a million copies. Other hits followed, like The Story of My Life, She Was Only 17. However, his first number one song came in 1959, called El Paso. And that came from his album Gunfighter Ballads and Trail Songs. That was his fifth album, and ended up number six on the US album chart, so he was off and running. The song Big Iron was also on this particular album. He followed up with a song called Don't Worry, which I didn't remember until I played it the other day, and then I remembered it. Number three on the US charts, and ended up number one on the country charts. And, of course, he had a hit with a song called Devil Woman as well. Now, a little bit of trivia here for you, Pete. Marty wrote a song called I Told the Brook. And a terrific little song that he did. I really, really enjoyed it. Of course, we'd know it better here, having been done by Billy Thorpe.
Sure do.
And, yes, it was. If you get a chance to have a listen to Marty's, Peter, I think it's well worth a listen.
Okay.
1961, Best Country Album, Grammy Award Album, More Gunfighter Ballads. Plus, he won the Best Country Song 1970 Grammy for My Woman, My Woman, My Wife. That was his second Grammy, and that's a terrific little song, that one, about hardship back in the old days. And he was named Artist of the Decade in 1960 to 1969 by the Academy of Country Music. Now, over the years, Pete, as you can imagine, he'd been honoured by many artists. Elvis Presley did his particular song, You Gave Me a Mountain, on 15 of his live albums. He never recorded in the studio, Elvis Presley, this song, but he tried to sing it as many times as he could in these live shows. Johnny Cash did a version of Big Iron. Of course, Billy Thorpe with I Told the Brook, and there would have been a stack of others.
Yeah, no, he's very, very popular, and it's amazing how many people also wrote a lot of songs that you don't really think about or know about, isn't it?
Well, it is, actually. I've got a friend of mine, he loves looking up who wrote the songs, and he gives me some information every now and then. I said, I didn't know that person wrote that song, you know. Yeah, quite right, but I mean, think of Neil Diamond writing songs for, you know, for the Monkees and all that sort of stuff, you know, like it's well known now, but it wasn't in the early days.
Now, he started out as a songwriter, Neil Diamond, in New York, and then, of course, he sort of said, well, hang on a minute. Hey, all these other people were having hits with my songs. I can do that.
And he did it rather well, I thought, too, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a whole other story. There's a story for you one day.
I've already done Neil Diamond.
Oh, have you? I must have missed that one.
Well, the next time you're back, Pete, when Terry's on holidays, remind me and I'll do it again.
Sounds like a plan.
A very good plan. Now, he was an interesting person in his private life, too. He had very strong political views, young Marty. And in the late 1960s, Columbia Records banned one of the songs that he recorded called Ain't It Right. You want to jot this one down, Pete, for a listen? It's a very, very interesting song. I won't mention too much about the lyrics. It's one that you need to listen to, but he had some very, very strong opinions about the Vietnam War. So I'll leave it at that, as far as that's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little song. Look it up if you can, Pete.
I will.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was also, in his private life, he liked driving racing cars, and he loved the NASCAR racing circuit. I had to look up NASCAR. Johnny Painter, of course, would know exactly what that means. National Association for Stock Car Racing. Now, there are top levels of that these days, of course, in the USA, UK, New Zealand, and in Australia as well. And these little cars... they go about 200 kilometres per hour, so he rode in about 35 of these races over about a decade. He had six top 10 finishes, and his personal best was a fifth. There's a story about, and it sort of shows what type of guy he was in private life. He saved another driver's life one day by purposely crashing into a wall rather than T-boning the car and possibly killing the guy. So I thought that was well worth mentioning. Sort of gives you an idea what type of guy he is.
Sure, yeah.
He married a woman called Marizona. Now, her name starts with the letter M and then the word Arizona, and she was born in Arizona, so I think the parents were having a little bit of fun there. He married a girl called Marizona Baldwin in 1948, and they remained married for 34 years until his death. He had a son called Ronnie and a daughter, Janet. And for those who are interested in this sort of thing, if you go onto YouTube, there's an interview with those two and his wife, Marizona. And all you can get through the whole interview is the love of this man. They just thought he was a terrific guy and, you know, nothing but praise about him. Marty, unfortunately, had cardiovascular disease problems from an early age, and... after his third heart attack, he underwent quadruple coronary bypass surgery and sadly died 6 days later, aged at just 57 in 1982. A huge loss to the music world and, of course, the family who loved him dearly. It's, gosh, you know, how many more songs could he have written? How many great tunes could we have got from this guy in 57, so young?
Yeah, no, he certainly did some amazing stuff. And he came to Maroochydore. Back in the day. Ravishing Rosa talks about that occasionally, our great presenter here. She remembers it very well. She met him then. I'm not quite sure what date it was, but it must have been quite a while ago now.
Well, obviously before 1982, so yeah.
Yeah, it must have been in the 70s, I think.
Yeah, oh, well, there we go. Now, Pete, you and I are born unashamed romantics, aren't we?
Well, speak for yourself, but yeah, no, that's the way it goes.
So I'm going to get you to play a Marty Robbins song. It's a song of young love, and we'll let the listeners listen to the lyrics, and they'll understand where I'm coming from. And let's go with that particular song, Pete, and I'll be back next Monday. Terry will be back, but you're on a bit of a break, and we'll catch you next time when we get you again.
Yeah, no worries, and thank you, Roman, for all the great information that you've brought to the last couple of weeks while I've been filling in for Terry, and looking forward to catching you on Monday morning with Terry, see what you've got for us.
Absolute pleasure.
17, and he was 1 year more, 17.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.